kind of awful to get through this whole agenda at the same night.
Okay, it should be going.
Let's get this started. Call to order. At 5:43. So, any additional agenda items for tonight? Not like we have any shortage of them. No? Okay. And approval of minutes. Does anyone have any changes to the minutes? I actually had a question on page 2 of the minutes, the last line of the last paragraph. I apparently said that I would draft a letter, and this has to do with whether we should have an alternate city council liaison for times marked that you can't be here.
Yeah, I'm reading that, and what I'm willing to do is... I won't say all, but a lot of the ones do have that. And pretty much just be a matter of Monday night me saying that, you know, unfortunately there have been some times here recently and there's some involved here and I can take care of that.
So on a case-by-case basis, it would be a different person?
Well, then what that enables you to do is, by the council taking that action, then I know somebody I can directly call so that I have a conflict. That hasn't been set up for this committee, so.
Oh, I see. So you would get a volunteer to be your second.
It is a habit we have on some of the other committees.
And that was what got me commenting the first, that it wasn't that, I miss two meetings in a row sometimes too, so I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying.
No, but it's a really good practice.
But it's
really good practice. And like I said, it's a simple matter of just saying that, you know, I didn't really think this many conflicts were going to come up. Obviously they do.
Right.
And I'm sure I'll get a taker, so.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, there are city councilors who, at the last, you know, 2 days ahead of time, say they can't make it, and there is no alternate assigned.
Right.
And, of course, then you can't, I mean, you, like anything, you send out an email to 10 people and nobody replies. If you are the alternate, you have to reply.
Yeah.
Okay, so
no
you've
problem.
Got that. You'll take care of that. And so then that, I don't actually remember saying that, and I didn't remember what,
I remember
what
saying
that was about. So, but it's fine. I'm sure Peggy...
Well, kind of along the same lines when this, when our city staff person can't be here, like Peggy, it'd be nice to have an alternate. And I've actually had occasion to be in the, is this out of context?
Okay.
Happened to be at the counter here at City Hall and was asking Derek about the map for us here. And he commented that Peggy was going to be gone. And I said, oh, well, who's going to do it? And then the nice lady that's over there in Public Works, so anyway, that's a staff person. Anyway, I said, well, they said, well, we got to find somebody. I said, well, whoever gets the short straw, I guess, and they kind of laughed, you know, because we're a tough committee. And so they didn't find anybody to send our way to take minutes and to whatever. But when Peggy's not available, do they typically send somebody else?
Well, you'll like this, Chuck, even though this is under later down. Mark. Chuck asked me for maps the committee can use for a frame of reference. We wanted to ask him for these for how long?
Is this from Derek?
Wait for the punchline.
Okay.
Let me know if these will work, and I'll have additional copies made in the future. Thanks, Derek. Now, I did immediately write Derek back and ask him if he could prepare some more for tonight, but it was pretty late in the afternoon when we got done, so he will make some more.
Oh, good.
And when we get to the appropriate place, or whenever you want, because we're doing a lot of stuff, you can kind of look at
that open. Yeah, we should talk about that some more.
But it is on it was also listed on the questions to city staff. So
Okay. And then there was another one where I suggested sending a thank you letter to ODOT for this contribution. And again, this is not a question of the minutes, so maybe not the right time in the meeting to bring this up, but I wanted to run that by you. So why don't I then put that on on the current, no.
Where's that one at?
It's just funny, we just talked about it now. It's in the third page of the minutes near the top.
Yeah, when we add it to the agenda, I want to comment more about that particular issue.
Okay, so you do. So Alicia wants to talk about the project. So let's just add that to the agenda.
Okay.
I'll just put it under update Chestnut Street, and that's the sidewalk project.
So who was the thank you letter supposed to come from, the city?
From the committee.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to that sidewalk project. Okay, right. Very good. Anything else on the minutes? No? Okay. Then make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Okay. I don't vote.
Yeah, you're not taking minutes. We're just leaving them for Peggy.
Right.
Okay, Peggy, we've approved the minutes as
you,
written.
Thank you,
Peggy. We don't actually vote on
it. No, last time we learned we didn't have to vote.
We didn't have to vote.
I thought we were told. We didn't have to say yay, nay. Just second. Good.
All right, moving on. Public comment. There's no members of the public present. And so the next item on our agenda is a discussion of agenda items for the joint meeting with Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, which is on the is on our schedule for, is it next
19th.
Wednesday the 19th. It's at 8:30 in the morning, and not all of the committee members can come, but it seemed like last month like we would have a quorum, so we would be able to do that meeting. Mark, do you know if you can come?
Yep, I'll be there.
Okay.
He's liaison for the recreation.
Oh, okay. He's there anyway. Right, and I understand we get donuts at that meeting, is that
right? Yeah, because supposedly I'm the reason why we didn't have a meeting, even though there were four other people who subsequently said they had problems. On this idea of the upcoming meeting, I just wanted to quickly state that I've sort of been indicating to the other city councilors that I think this is a good habit for a variety of committees to cross-pollinate a little more often. We talked about it briefly at the Wayfinding Committee for two reasons. You discover there's a lot of overlap, as we already know, between committees. And in my mind, it strengthens recommendations that come to the city council. I mean, if you've got two or three committees saying the same thing, it's a little hard to ignore. And so I think that's a real positive outcome, and I'm looking forward to this meeting, joint meeting next month.
So agenda items for that meeting. What do we want to talk to them about?
Well, one of the things that we've talked about in conjunction with the Parks and Rec Department or the South Beach Trails that we've had on our radar screen over the years that would include like the trail from the airport down the old railroad grade to Mike Miller Park. That was one that our committee in the past has looked to try to facilitate that trail. And another one that I can think of regarding South Beach is when they built the Oregon Coast Aquarium, all of the conceptual designs showed two trailheads leading into Mike Miller Park from the college, and they didn't ever actually make any connections there. The new connection they made at Wilder Park that goes into the Mike Miller Park system is a good one, but I still think it'd be a neat idea for the college to have a direct link to Mike Miller Park, and there's literally 100 feet of distance between the two. If Mike Miller Park loops up on top of the ridge, and you can scratch back 100 feet off of the community college property and directly access Mike Miller Park. Whereas now, if you're a community college student or visitor, and you wanted to go to Mike Miller Park, you'd go out of the park, out of the college proper, down 40th to Wilder Park, down a swale, up a swale, over a swale, then you'd be into Mike Miller Park. Huh. There's a direct connection there that we've looked at in the past. There's a stump you can walk up to and you go, wow, there's the trail right there.
I don't know which committee it was, to be honest with you, because I'm in both committees, and my mind goes. But the college said, no, they don't want that trail broke through.
Who said that?
The college.
When was that?
I don't remember. It was one was discussed in one of these committees I was in, but I can't remember which one now.
How long ago, Alicia?
Yeah, about a year ago.
Even when Bruce was acting.
Well, we looked at it under Patrick, when Patrick was there, and early on, the college said, yeah, they weren't really interested because of they didn't want people to come up through the trail and have access to college in terms of vandalism and such. Since there's a new sheriff there, and I guess a new sheriff coming, a permanent new sheriff coming soon, to me it makes sense for the community to have that direct access, because if you're taking a college class,
so try again.
You can walk right in there and boom, you're on that trail, and it's so cool.
Yeah, it's a real one. It's a great wellness initiative for them to encourage students to get out for a walk.
The Wilder Park connection makes it a little less strong of an issue. But still, if you look at the logistics of doing that, physically getting from point A to point B, you're directly into Mike Miller Park from the college grounds.
Would they object, do you think, to people parking at the college and accessing it that way?
In other words,
community
members. I always thought about it as being an amenity for the college, that they would want that and welcome that and be part of their little amenities that they offer. And like I said, in looking at the planning for that, for years, they showed two trailheads leading in there, and when the college got built, it was like, well, where's the connection? Well, it never happened.
I never realized when I was on that Mike Miller trail how close I was to the college.
Yeah, it's amazing how close it is.
You know, with the new sheriff, and then also I've noticed over the last year or two, the college has really kind of relaxed their security thing. I mean, not that security is not important, but it used to be that if there wasn't a specific event going on, 5 o'clock at night or whatever, boom, they locked up those gates. And that was it. And I know we went through this with putting the Master Gardeners demonstration site there. And it just seems like the gates are open a lot more frequently now than they used to be. And that might have something to do with, a different view of how to integrate community plus security.
Yeah.
The paths that you're putting in, are they pedestrian-only paths? Are they bicycle paths?
They would be
ATV paths.
They would be pedestrian paths only. The other thing that we want to make sure that we present, or in the past has been important to present, is that we're not trying to facilitate bicycles on Mike Miller Park Trail. It's not appropriate.
Right.
I mean, if you're a hardcore mountain biker, you could get in there and ride your bike on it, and it would be kind of cool. But it's not appropriate based upon the user groups and the if you're coming flying down a hill and there's a school group right there, it wasn't appropriate. So we always made the case that it was for pedestrian only is the angle we were coming from.
Somebody more ambitious could want to make that connection trail and walk on up to the dog park there for Wilder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of people you can think of that could take advantage of that.
Right.
Okay. So two South Beach trails that we want to talk to them about. Any other specific issues, Alicia, anything that is on your radar?
There's all that stuff that people talked about around the reservoirs and Forest Park.
Forest Park, yes.
Those are the other, kind of the other geography.
That's something for you to think about, because I think that's on Parks and Rec's radar right now, about what to do about that. There's one trail, and then there's whatever we might do in the future in terms of trails, and then there's Big Creek Rip.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously I'm not going to bring this up as a topic for tomorrow, but it's pretty clear from my standpoint that everyone knows that someday at the appropriate time, that should really be shut down for city access only and basically become a multimodal road through the park. Obviously, it's years away because we have to build a bypass someday, somewhere before that. But, if this committee has been inexperienced, apparently you have to put these ideas out there for years before they
yes.
either don't get forgotten about or become reality.
So what would the actual agenda item or the topic be?
Well, the agenda item in general would be just discussing the need and or concepts for additional use of Forest Park through trails or, you know, for instance, I thought about the trail that exists. Is that a bike trail or is it not a bike trail? And if it is going to be highlighted as a bike trail, does it really have the kind of surface that mm-hmm. needs to have the entire length to be a bike trail?
Are you talking about the gravel road that starts as a gravel road
yeah,
behind a pool?
It heads up and then it's more dirt and
right.
goes up steep.
Goes up to, but it starts basically at the swimming pool as a yeah. gravel road with a gate across it so right. pedestrian cars can't go in there. And it goes down and then up the hill to the water tanks.
Right, and then back down to Big Creek Park.
And about that point, it gets away from the gravel and goes more dirt. Yeah. Is that still what it does?
Yeah, but it's much, much, much better than it used to be. It's doable on a bicycle now, where it was.
So I don't know the answer. I'm just yeah. saying that would be a good concept to talk
right.
about.
That used to be the route of the local triathlon here.
Yeah.
The which?
The local triathlon.
Oh,
that used to be
yeah.
the route there.
Right.
And that's before they fixed it, made it nice and smooth going down. It used to be a really, really wicked.
That could be a really nice loop, too.
Yes, it could.
And it seems like that one, with a lot of it being a gravel road, would be more bicycle appropriate.
Yeah.
Or more mixed appropriate.
The park is almost paved, really.
Yeah.
When you get the bottom there,
yeah.
you come back up, that's paved for a while.
Oh, really? I haven't been up there for years.
Yeah.
On the way to the water tanks.
On the way to the water tanks. And it's really difficult on the bike because you
to
have
show
to,
up on here.
You have to get on.
Oh, we have maps
right
now.
Yeah. Your back wheel will spin going up the hill.
So there's the large view. These are all different.
Yeah, they're different.
There's the yeah. large view and then zoomed in, like we asked for.
Yeah, this is the
one. And on the zoomed in version, Alicia, you could almost.
There's
without a pen and
oh, where are yeah. we over here?
Yeah.
We're on the wrong map.
We're on the wrong map.
Oh, there are. Okay.
We're in the just
sorry about that.
Okay, here we go. The creek road.
So, wait, yeah. so how many sets?
Yeah,
there's one set?
There's here's one set. Here.
So, which
oh,
trails?
One set.
Oh, those
so
are the tanks,
are not all
right?
Yeah.
Are those the water tanks?
Yeah.
So this the path?
Yeah, so here's the
comments.
Here's Sampe School, and here's the pool.
Right
on the north side of the pool. Is a pay or is a gravel road?
And it goes down.
It's a maintenance road, and it goes
oh,
down.
Oh, that's Big Creek. That's what I
goes down about. A hill.
Okay.
And it's gravel, and it's yeah, an access see. Road primarily for these water tanks. Steep hill.
Oh, I think I walked on that once.
And then it continues on, and apparently it gets a little.
But I
gravel goes away.
The
no
I was
gravel.
So shocked
I mean,
to find that
path.
Little neighborhood up in there.
It's just a path from the time you leave the tanks.
From the tanks down.
On down. It's just a pathway, but it's much improved pathway from what it used to be.
This is blue line.
And then it ends up right down here at the city park.
Yeah, right there at the city park.
So while you're looking at Forest Park, and you can call me crazy.
Which is Forest Park anyway.
That's basically this.
All that stuff in there, okay.
I've envisioned someday, imagine if you were, whatever the correct term is now, handicapped, disabled, anyways, unable to get around on your typical, even 2-inch gravel trail. Imagine a situation where somebody could come to Forest Park, park their car, and be able to be wheelchaired out, you know, would have to be paid probably, maybe a little deck, and have the ability to sit out there sort of, and the feeling would be like you're sitting in the middle of a wetland. Mm. You know, seems like not such a big deal, but it's a huge deal for somebody that doesn't get to get around very much.
And it's not that hard to do.
No. I mean, and there might very well be additional sources of grants, ADA, that kind
your
of
stuff. Your
that could attract something. But anyway, that's just one I've had percolate in my mind the last couple of years. Realizing that, you know, I probably will still leave it for the new course someday when I need that.
Okay, so then we've got, what else do we have for them?
The reason we want to talk about the bicycle in Forest Park is because we're trying to make Newport a destination town. And right now, they don't have any place to ride their mountain bike. And if you come to Newport, where do you ride your mountain bikes? Yeah. And there are some great trails, but most of it's on private land around here, and we can't get to it.
Yeah, you've made that point before, and it's a good one, the fact that it's private land.
Yeah.
And about for the people traveling through on long distance bikes, there's not much here for them either. I see more and more people coming through on Highway 101,
mm-hmm.
you know, on long distance bikes.
Yeah.
There's almost nothing for them here either. There's no bike racks, there's nothing.
Well,
you know, it's not just mountain bikes, there's nothing here.
I have to disagree with you a little bit on that. We made an effort of putting bike racks in town here.
There's very few. There's some at the library.
Yeah, some at
the
library.
There's a couple here. Does Fred Meyer have any anymore? They used to have some.
Fred Meyer has a bike route.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's Walmart that sort of dropped theirs off. They put it over by the smoking area. I told him, I'm not going to park over there. I said, you have to do something else.
I haven't been able to find it at Fred Meyer. I've looked a couple times.
Yeah, right by the Starbucks there. That door right there is where the bike rack is.
Huh, I guess I walked right by then.
Okay. And we put several down through Nye Beach also.
Right. So yeah, I've seen them there.
Right. And what was the main thing that they wanted to talk to us about when they invited us? Was there something in particular?
They didn't say anything in particular.
Okay.
I think what happened is they started talking about trails. And I said, well, are you talking about for just people or people, bikes, and all of the above? And they said, all of the above. And one of the means I said, well, you probably ought to have a joint meeting with the Bike and Ped Committee sometime. And I think of that because I serve on both, as do you.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at Alicia and I and said, that's a good idea. So here we go.
Okay. So then we're going to them with two agenda items. One is South Beach Trails, the airport, old railroad to Mike Miller Park Trail. And then the other idea is connecting the community college with the Mike Miller Park Trail. And the second agenda item would be to discuss needs and concepts for additional trails in Forest Park, bike and or ped trails.
Would there be any value, I think Chuck, you're probably the one who brings this up the most often, well actually you too, when it comes to mapping out our sidewalks. Would there be any overlap between Parks and Rec, the whole idea of wellness of walking and or riding, and jointly pushing this idea that where you can't have specified, you know, bike lanes or sharrows or whatever, there at least ought to be a sidewalk. And we still have many places in town where there's no place to walk or ride.
Or even just a slightly improved shoulder.
Right.
In lieu of
even a slightly improved shoulder.
Just so you have a refuge and a ribbon of, you know, of space that's not auto oriented.
You know, so that
you had to walk in the street.
And it's like Cheryl's, it's not something we're going to clobber overnight, but if we literally knew where these spots are, oh, okay, we have enough money to dump a batch of gravel and at least have a refuge for now, you know.
Why would that be part of this joint meeting and not just something that we look at as a project?
I'm just thinking of because Parks and Recs has got their whole theme is, along with their facilities, continuing to hit on the whole wellness concept. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's perfectly fine for a standalone for this committee. I'm just saying.
Okay, because that was the other question I had that we could raise with them is jurisdiction. Like, what do they do? What do we do? Where do we overlap? And when we do overlap, how do we communicate with each other?
Well, that's where I've sort of suggested that this continuing to have some level of, you know, meeting maybe at least once a year to kind of share those overlaps. To me, that's the most effective way.
Mm-hmm. If we can define them first, that would be good. So like this one sounds like it falls in our purview because it's more on city streets rather than parks.
Is there any plan for, I mean, having some kind of overreaching plan? I mean, I know there's like the city transportation plan where you're thinking of the parks and the other recreation areas as part of a path for people to be able to walk or use their bicycle to get around Newport. I mean, is components within it? I mean, it's kind of weird to think of, well, I'm going to drive to Forest Park and ride my bicycle or walk, but then I'm going to drive everywhere else. I mean, at least if you're talking about it from a wellness point of view, as opposed to being able to actually walk to where you want to go, which is real hard to do, unless except for certain restricted parts of town.
Yeah. Well, but it does.
That's why
like,
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're completely separate and you can't combine them. I don't know.
I think they're combined on the sense of it. When we look at the big map and we look at the mm-hmm. transportation plan, we're looking at all of the connectors, and so that would be. Those are the connectors. So if you drive, so right now, for example, you can ride your bike, or walk, for example, a whole big loop, except through, you know, the state park, or you know, there's Sharrows everywhere but the state park. So if someone wanted to enjoy that state park on a bicycle, we look at making those connections. So that's something that this committee does, mm-hmm. and I think it can stay in this committee. I don't think. We need to combine them.
One opportunity would have, though, and I'm pretty certain it made it to the, at least the over the next 2 years priority list, the Parks and Rec plan is out of date and has to be completely overhauled. So if you were wanting to have input mm-hmm. into that component, you know, what the connectors should look like, what they should accommodate, that would be a perfect example of why it would be good to stay in touch with the Parks and Rec Committee when and if they get around to doing that. And since you have one crossover member, they could easily be the person that's saying, you know, I think it would be an appropriate time maybe for us to have another meeting or whatever.
And that does get to exactly what you just said, yeah, where right. we can work that plan. Yeah. And if there's something that they've identified as a priority, we could use it. So I see where you're going with that. And
yeah. I wish I
well,
had
I was kind of wondering from the community college, I was thinking, okay, you go through Mike Miller Park. Does that possibly get you closer to the bridge or to a way to go to the bridge? So it becomes kind of a way to go somewhere as well as a way to take a walk, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because that would be a nice non-traffic way to go, either on foot or whatever, as long as it's not adding like miles and miles to wherever you want to go. That's all I meant, is to think in terms of, yeah, you've got this component that's nice, you know, and people want to walk there and whatever, but right now when I've gone to Mike Miller Park, I drive and take a dog there. That's the only reason I go there. You know, I don't go there to go anywhere else, but for the people that, say, are living in that area, it would be kind of nice if they could go from there to the bridge, walk over, and be in town. That's all I was thinking of, or ride a bike. Then it might be a slightly safer way to go than having to get on the highway, even if it's a little longer. That's more the kind of thing I guess I'm thinking about, is adding a park component to the actual getting around town kind of.
To along those lines, going to the post office from the community college, the post office at 50th Street. So if you literally walk over the hill from the community college via the trail system, you're right down to 50th Street in the post office.
Right, and so there, on the highway. That's all. I meant if there was like a, what is that road?
Well, if you wanted to go from the college to the post office, yeah. You go to Mike Miller, go right, you have to go through Mike Miller Park to get there if you want to walk direct.
What is that new road that just got paved? You guys were
Ash.
I finally saw it. Ash. If there was some way of going through Ash and then cutting back through there.
That's
been going to Aquarium Village, but you can also get to the bridge that way too without having to go on the highway, it looks like.
Yes.
So that's right. kind of thing I'm thinking of too.
Along those lines, we have a map. It's a bicycle map. Of how to get around different parts of town. And we've been thinking about putting a walking map together like that also. We have a walking map, but it's not too good right now.
Right.
But we can have something like the one, I wish I had it with me right now, the one that this committee produced, the bicycling map for the town here. Then you'd understand a lot of these issues. Because issues, we have one that's just called parks. We can just bicycle from different park to different park. And what routes you should take. You just think about that, if you had a walking map like that.
Well, I have walked a lot, and that'll come, and I have walked from place to place, and I guess for me, it's kind of like, when I think about bicycling from my house, it's kind of like, I'm not going to do it, and I'm not taking Ocean View Road. No way, because it's like this. I'm not that good a bicyclist.
Yeah, I try to avoid the hills myself, too. But on another line, though, is about the two committees working together. We had an opportunity, we worked together. There was one time, there was no way to get a bicycle through the Frank Wade Park, I think it's called.
Right.
Frank Wade Park.
Which one is that now?
Over there by where the baseball and
tennis courts.
Okay.
Tennis courts.
Okay. Got it.
It was specifically set up with one of those divider things.
And you couldn't get a bicycle through there. So I'm saying that there was no way on the east side of 101 to bicycle because you hit a dead end right there without going on 101. Now, I ride 101 myself, but a lot of people don't like 101. So I worked trying to, and I worked with the parks, and we finally got that broken through. They changed the gates. Mm-hmm. And now they got a nice sidewalk through there now.
Yeah, just added that.
Yeah. So, and then we came in, we had to make curb cuts to make this happen. So our committee came in with the money for the curb cuts. So it was a joint effort to make this happen.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just asking if it was, and you're telling me it is.
I'm giving an example of how it has worked in the past.
Okay.
And we can continue. If you can identify an area where we need to work together, it can happen.
So what if we had as our third agenda item that we asked them about the schedule for their new Parks and Rec plan,
right,
and how we can best plug into that.
Yeah, that's,
so we'll tell them that we want to be part of the process.
That'd be great. For that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's another issue we could consider, and that would be the North Jetty Road maintenance. And in the past, Bob Hine, Ken Dennis, and myself, last year we did a brushing out of that road. We went down there with little chainsaws and cut the willows back, so when you walk down the North Jetty access road from the Coast Guard station area to the beach, you can do so more easily. And
we
did that, and it was kind of cool and fun. And I've talked to State Parks, to John Allen in State Parks, and he suggested that rather than get a one-day permit or a permit that lets us do it one time, that we put together a Friends of the Aquinnah Bay State Park group, and then we would get a blanket permission to once a year or a couple times each year to go down there and do that. And it would be kind of an ongoing perpetual permit. And it could be a bike club that is the Friends of. It could be our committee. It could be the bike committee and the Parks and Rec committee. Maybe that's a good joint venture. So the bike and ped committee and the Parks committee are all people that are listed in this Friends of group, and if anybody has time and wants to go down there and do that, three or four people or a dozen people, you can do that once a year.
Mm-hmm. And the Coast Guard might want to get involved in that as well.
But the thing,
now that we've cleared the whole access issue about using that road.
Right. I mean, we spent $12,000 on a fence to satisfy the Coast Guard's requirements, and it still remains a really beautiful walk. And if the tide's out just a little bit, you can walk down the beach and then back up.
Mm-hmm. I love that trail.
Yeah, it needs to be done. You know, now would be ideal because the leaves are still off the trees. It gets real, real bushy real fast. So anyway, that's just to collaborate with to become a Friends of the Aquinnah Bay Park to do that ongoing maintenance.
This probably, it's probably more of a Friends of the Lighthouse, but there's probably an existing group for the state park.
Well, it's just the term they use if they have a group of people that want to do a project ongoing. They call it, you basically just befriend that particular state park.
So you don't have to be an organized group to get the permit.
No, they say, oh, there's a bunch of people that do it, and then why don't you call yourself a Friends of our park, i.e. Aquinnah Bay State Park, and then under that umbrella, and it could be a bike club, it could be a Rotary Club, it could be any number of groups would qualify to be an entity that would serve as that. So our two committees could be that joint entity that would be listed as the Friends of the Park for their permit purposes. That would be ongoing and not have to worry about getting a permit each year.
Okay. I understand their meetings, unlike ours, their meetings are only an hour. So I don't know how much headway we'll make.
Yeah. Well, they slip over sometimes, but yeah.
They're an hour and a half at least.
I think that was the reason when I saw the agenda for the Oregon Coast Community Forest Association, which will now happen in May, that's all they had on the agenda. So I was just trying to look up the names here. When you get your agenda ideas, I'm assuming you'd plan to send that to Jim or Tiba.
I was going to go through Peggy.
Or go through Peggy. Yeah. She'll get a hold of Jim and give her the manager up there.
The
woman there.
Secretary Judy?
Judy, yeah. Yes. And then Judy and Jim, in all likelihood, it'll send back an agenda that basically lines out these items. And
is Peggy gone this whole week?
She's back Monday.
And then the meeting's Wednesday already.
Yeah.
So why don't I send these, I'll write this, write up these agenda items and send them to you and Peggy.
Okay.
But you may want to get it to him before
I can forward
Monday.
It to Jim and Judy, and they'll, yeah, they'll work out.
Okay,
that.
Just keep Peggy in the loop so she knows what happened. Okay. All right. Anything else? Should we move on? So this review this list of questions for the city staff. Now, I only brought Peggy's. I didn't realize that this list was in our packet. I actually reworked the list, though, after I went home. So I think they're probably a little bit different.
Okay. Yeah, we kind of got rid of a few of them that were extraneous.
Or rid of a few. How many are on?
There's nine on your
list. Nine,
your,
and this
on
one is 13. So the first was maps to be used by the committee printed by city staff. We had talked about a big map. Is this fine?
No, this is not. This gives us a starting point for geography.
I think the idea is if you like the way this was busted up, there's nothing saying that we couldn't print, you know, a poster size of each one of these that we could use in meetings. I think Derek was thinking everybody on the committee might want to have one of these smaller sets, just for reference.
Okay.
You know, so I guess what I'm saying is if we have a bigger set, we could just store it someplace here locally for our meetings, and then if somebody had a particular project they wanted to work on, you know, you go grab it, take it home and work on it, bring it back for the next meeting.
Okay, so that's a good plan. So our request now is to have a set of these for everyone. Thank you, Derek.
So you guys think each one would be like, kind of like what is there on the wall?
Yeah, as big as we can get them within reason. And are there three maps?
There's five.
There's five.
What if we had them as big as is reasonable? So whatever kind of, whatever size printer they have, they can make us one big one. That then we'll keep in here.
I'm thinking check those ones in the city manager's are like 36 inches wide, right?
Yeah, usually 2 feet by 3 feet.
So if you imagine these pages 36 inches wide, they're going to be 28, they're going to be plenty big.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Okay, so we're getting there on that first one. Second is status of recommendations made to the Public Works Department regarding safety issues on Moore Drive and Bay Boulevard. Specifically requested was whether mandatory bike lanes are included in the design.
Okay,
Does that read the same way on yours?
That was one that we did away with here.
We did away with. So is that agreed? Do away with it?
Yeah, according to Tim, it never advanced beyond the discussion stage, so he was unclear what happened there.
Okay, so number two is scratched out. It never advanced. Say that again? It never advanced beyond...
There were some short-term recommendations from the fourth task force about striping Southeast Moore Drive that were discussed, but they were never advanced beyond the discussion stage. So, you know, because that whole issue was redoing that area so closely tied to the whole logging and everything thing, he ended up being unclear, really, you know, whether there was an expectation that anything more would be done there. Now, having said that, you know, that's one of those difficult situations where the recommendations that this committee has might kind of get lost in the massive process that's gone on for the whole effort down there.
Right, what happened, as I can tell, is on Bay Boulevard, they put a stripe back that got wiped out by the traffic, but they never put the bicycle signed back in the bike lanes. And that's what our complaint was.
So they would put the bicycle sign back where?
In the bicycle lane that goes up the, well, that'd be the, what, the south side? A big board?
Yeah, it was a very simple request that's been ongoing. It's real specific. It's just the fact that when they put in the pedestrian improvements on Bay Boulevard from the Embarcadero up to Vista Drive,
right,
they put the nice sidewalk in there.
Right.
And as part of that on that larger project, they did bike lanes on both sides. And the bike lane, as you're heading out the Bay Road to the east, the bike lane itself, the stripe for the bike lane,
right,
was missing and worn off for quite a while. They did repaint part of it recently, which was good, but they never did put the symbol back in the bike lane so that somebody knows that it's not just a fat shoulder or a fat fog line in the shoulder, that they realize that there's a bike symbol there, which the idea is it makes both user groups aware of each other and sets a tone for separation.
That was between the Embarcadero and where?
And Vista Drive to the east.
Right.
I don't know if there's, I guess probably two of them were needed, right? One down at the bottom, one towards the top?
I can't remember.
But it would seem like there would be need for one up towards the Vista Drive end and one down towards the Embarcadero end.
Because the what happens there, then the city limits ends and everybody's gone there.
I put a star by that one.
That's the thing that got...
an ongoing one.
That's the thing that got Ted... and this committee at odds that created the meltdown.
A little, just the 30-minute project to go out there.
Right. That was the meltdown issue.
Okay.
Because somebody on the committee said, doggone it, you need to do that. And very forcefully. But that was, wasn't it?
And yes, it was.
That was the trigger. And it was a fairly simple maintenance issue, which we were just frustrated with not being...
I was embarrassed in that meeting to be a part of this committee. It was bad. It was that bad.
So you're talking about here? I mean, I just want to be sure I know what you're talking about. This area, there's Southeast Vista, so
yeah,
this area here?
Here's the Embarcadero and the street coming down for Miss John Moore Drive.
Uh-huh.
So once you get through that intersection and head east, you're on Bay Boulevard.
Right.
And Vista is...
here. Right at the top right here someplace, isn't it?
Yeah, Vista comes in right here. This is where Vista comes down.
Okay.
So if the bike lane that's headed into town this way does have the bicycle symbol in the bike lane on that side, but if you're in the bike lane going up the hill, up to the Bay Road, that's where the symbol is missing.
Okay.
And
thanks.
And it needs to be restriped, too, right now. I mean, I drove up there today,
and
the upper portion is okay, but... down in the middle portion, it's gone again.
It's gone
and
again.
It's just paint.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as long as we're on the subject and we're talking about it, that would be an area where it would be appropriate to consider the thermoplasty striping like they have.
They will not do that because that's being considered for redoing.
Yeah.
With the logging.
Yeah.
Okay.
They really need to redo that curve there, and it's in the plans to make it happen. I hope they have it before the law
but comes the curve is right there down by the bank, and what we're talking about is unrelated to the curve, unless they're going to overlay the whole thing. So I guess that's why we were interested in just maintaining it as it is, if that's what it takes, if we can't do the better quality finish, just to keep painting the stripe and adding the symbol in there.
Right.
So does this question belong on our list, or should we take it off for now?
Well, it needs to be done. It hasn't been done. We're asking to have it done.
Yeah. Okay. So this number two stays on the list. It's not on there, but it is on Peggy's.
We need a status report. What if anything, they're going to do about that situation.
Within that larger project, which is reconfiguring the intersection for the logging operation, there is a minor detail, which this is. This could be deemed to be exclusive of that intersection change if engineering looked at it and said, well, all the changes we're going to do are downhill by the bank, and what you're asking for is actually up the hill, and we're not going to overlay that area. So, yeah, we could do a more permanent fix there or agree to, in an ongoing fashion, maintain it so it's visible. And I guess that's where it comes down to saying, hey,
what's the plan down there, and is what we're asking for outside of the scope of work, or affected by the scope of work, as it relates to what type of stripe and what character of paint. The paint that you see up in front of the Coast Guard station, isn't that the thermoplastic striping for the mm-hmm. bike path? So an yeah. example of a long-term bike striping is found up Natterland Drive, where you see that nice 8-inch wide bicycle lane stripe and the symbol in the lane. And they're both done with a thermoplastic material, and they last for years. So just understanding the paint versus that. Mm-hmm. Public works, if Tim was here, he'd say, here's how I see it, boom, 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 and we'd be done. Mm-hmm. And that's part of our ongoing frustration, because we can't, yeah. it's hard enough to verbalize what it is we're talking about, understand what it is we're talking about, and then decide whether what we're asking for is off base or appropriate.
So, excuse me while I check this, I have a voice message from Jim Petiva, so I'm going to see if it's
okay.
perhaps relevant to this, since he doesn't normally call me at 5:05 p.m.
Yeah, and I actually don't have that one. Oh, Chuck okay. has it. I'm looking at Peggy's list, because ultimately okay. Peggy's list has to be okay. dealt with or amended. So can I see my list,
sure.
Chuck? Thank you.
Okay, so that's fine. Okay. I'll go back to the other one.
So we took it off, but we're putting it back on. Yeah. Okay, good. So Peggy, so we've got number one unchanged on the list of questions, and number two is also unchanged on your list of questions. Okay, number three, determine whether the city's grant consultant is actively looking for all grants or whether it searches for specific grant opportunities. So we'll find out from Mark what the answer to that question is.
And I don't know if that... What are we really asking for there?
It's a pretty simple question. Do we right. need to...
You guys are happening.
Does the grant consultant let Derek know, oh, here's a bike ped project. Do you have any bike ped projects that you want to do? Or does Derek say, we need these specific... Like, which way does it go?
I see.
And so if the city's grant consultant is just sending out, okay, here's a bike ped, then can we get on that list and be able to see?
Here's the response you got from Tim. Grant consultant continuously looks for specific grants that align to the projects the city has identified in our CIP.
Okay.
And
what's
CIP?
The CIP?
That's the capital improvement projects, which are very specific.
Right.
It's a list of projects that they
right.
say we need to do this. And
so
it's on the actual
grants floating around out there that could be very instrumental to
right.
solving
right.
the wish list for this committee. It doesn't necessarily get flagged by that grants person.
The transportation plan has a ton of things on there.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a few that get to this capital projects list. That's what we probably need to see is. Are there any capital project lists? Are there any projects on the capital improvements list that relate to our bike ped committee?
Okay, so we have that.
And if there's some that we
question.
Want to put on there, then.
Mm-hmm. So we've had our question number three answered. So question number three about the grants can come off the list, but we want to add a new question in there, which is. Can we get a copy of the capital improvements projects? And then I would suggest then that this is something later in the agenda, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but to talk about what's next, review all the new projects and begin setting new priorities. And maybe part of that, when we do set new priorities, part of that can be how can we identify grants that would be related to those priorities.
You guys are genius. That was Jim saying. Could you send me a list of things that the bike and ped committee are going to want on our joint agenda? I'm sending him an email right now saying that you have to be working on it right now. Who's got it done?
All right.
Well, would another question be, how do you get bike ped projects on the CIP list?
Well, that's what we talked to the city
first
manager
about. They have to be in the transportation plan. That's the big giant list.
Okay.
If you cherry pick them out of the transportation plan and get them elevated to the point where somebody's excited enough about it as we are, then they go on the capital improvements list. An example of that, or a reference to that, could be when we went to city council and said, these are the projects we want to do. We have three capital improvement projects that the city manager agreed to have Public Works vet relative to conceptual pricing and engineering.
Right.
And that was the three that we talked about, the Ocean View, the Nye Street bypass, the sidewalk by the hospital, went up to the hospital, and then the Aggie Beach Wayside connection through the tunnel and up towards Walmart.
Yeah.
So those are three capital improvement projects that we at least got the city manager to agree to cost and conceptualize.
Mm-hmm.
So once that's done, they could actually go on the capital improvement projects because they've vetted enough that there's a budget number to it.
Right.
Is that right?
That's yeah,
like how
yeah
that
that's
works.
Exactly the way I think about it. But we can back up and see what's already on that capital improvements project list. And then the other thing we can do is identify some other projects that maybe are not in line to get on that list, on smaller projects, but if we find funding for them, the city will do them.
Yeah, chicken and egg.
Yeah.
Back and forth, always, you know.
So question number three changes to can we get a copy of the capital improvements projects? So question number four, status of the repainting of bike lane symbols on Southeast Bay Boulevard. So is that's still on the list?
That's a subversion of the bigger question.
I didn't get any response on that one.
Okay.
That's the one.
Next, this is something we wanted to talk to Parks and Rec about, installation of dog waste bag containers.
All right. Yeah.
And so, Kern, as they say.
Yeah.
Do you want to make that part of our joint meeting, or do you want to just bring that to them separately?
Might as well make it part of our joint meeting, because I couldn't bring it to them last time because there wasn't a meeting. Because our meeting got canceled.
Okay, so five status of, they're going to be scared away by our list. Status of installation.
Number six, Bob told us they could do away with it because it was already done. And you scratched it off your list, dog. I believe.
Oh, yeah, you can mention that.
Number six. Okay, so number five can stay the same until we get an answer at our next meeting. Number six, installation of riprap, can be deleted from the list. Number seven is one that we removed. Is the city looking? So Forest Park. We're going to be discussing that with them, with Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
So should we remove number seven from our list?
Not necessarily.
No?
Sorry, let me back up for a minute. One heads up from the item on the doggy bag.
Oh, right. You have answers.
Tim reiterates here that they will not install dog waste bags unless they're adjacent to or near trash receptacles.
Right, that's what we heard.
Because of the problem he stated before, where, so that's just something to know. So we'll have to be looking at it as, you know, both receptacles and doggy waste.
So doesn't it just immediately mean that you ask for a receptacle?
Yeah.
And that the, isn't that what we...
Yeah, I'm assuming that's what it would be. So.
Got to see the area. Yeah, I look at the area.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go down and look at that area. I haven't been on that trail for too long.
Okay. Where are we? So we got our answer to that. question. Thank you, Mark. So now we're looking at the possibility of installation of dog waste bag containers on Big Creek Trail. Is that right?
And are we all talking about the one that starts at Aggie Beach Wayside and ends in the residential area near Big Creek Park?
I'm not sure. There was a lot of discussion about it last week.
I think that's what we're talking about, right? Yeah. What they often refer to in the Recreation Committee as the Beach to Bay Trail.
Correct.
They still call it that.
They still do, yes.
And right now there's Big Creek Park that probably has all sorts of trash containers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a picnic area.
And so what we're, if we want to facilitate this, then we are asking for either a trash can on the Agate Beach Wayside end, which is on state park property, or one at the end of the trail to the east where it bumps out into the residential streets.
I think the residential streets, because Agate Beach Wayside has waste baskets.
Mm-hmm.
Agate Beach Wayside already has waste baskets on that side, the parking side. So I don't think you really need one there, unless you want them right by the underpass.
Right. Well, that's a good point. And like I said, what are we asking for?
Yeah.
We're not asking for one on Agate Beach mm-hmm. side, because that's state park property and there's probably already right. trash bins there.
Yeah.
So then,
Mark, did you have an understanding of where exactly the request was?
For which one?
For the dog waste bags.
Not exactly.
It came from this committee.
Big Creek Road the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I actually thought you guys were talking about Big Creek.
Well, that's why I bring up the clarification, because it's like, well, what are we even talking about?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I mean, that was last week.
Well,
I thought that's what you were talking about.
I think this question has been on our list for so long that the discussion was a long time ago, and it was probably someone who's not here anymore who had mm-hmm.
it. Was it Dave Team?
Was it sort of like at each end of Big Creek? You know, you imagine people walking.
Okay. Right.
I mean, then at least you have basically a paved road that has easy access to get to at either end, mm-hmm. and you could easily have a waste receptacle right. and a doggy bag.
Most people that enter the Big Creek Trail or the Beta Beach Trail at Aggie Beach Wayside park on the east end of Aggie Beach Wayside parking
right.
lot.
Yep.
And if the state parks has a trash container there, great. If they don't, they have one over by the restrooms,
yeah.
which
yes.
is a long ways away for somebody that's
right.
lazy and is parking down here. Then they have to, you know, walk clear down there. So, again, somebody almost has to go out there and say, well, gee, it's needed here and not needed there. But it's hard to ask for something if you don't even
right.
know what you're asking for.
That's true. What happened is it was one of our new members of our committee brought this up just a couple months back. And that's how it got on our list. It wasn't there before on the old committee, this particular issue.
Okay. I think not, because when I pulled up the questions for this, Peggy sent me these questions. They were back from April, and they had not been updated since April.
Okay, I mean,
so it was a very old question.
Has anybody here walked that trail?
I walked that trail, but I don't have a dog.
Okay.
So I would not notice one way or the other.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
with a dog, what would I notice? I mean,
where you want
you
the trash can, and if you want.
Oh,
one.
I would see. I carry them if I need to. So
okay.
I don't really worry about it.
Well,
I'm not sure everybody does.
I mean,
that.
For those who aren't prepared, like maybe even as a visitor, it seems like a reasonable starting place would be each end of the road, mm-hmm. and then maybe, as you said, check the entrance from the state park, because if you park at that end, specifically to unlock that trail, you're not going to walk all the way over to the, or even know that the doggy station that's designed for going down on the beach is there.
I would like to propose that we take this off our list of questions for city staff, and we keep it on our own agenda to assess. And maybe some of us can just go out there the need for. So that can be in the minutes that we want to
genius.
Assess the need for
right.
doggy bags on Big Creek Trail. And so, Peggy, you can remove number 5 from the list of questions I think we've gotten our question answered.
Well, hi, Peggy. We almost forgot you were there.
Oh, I have not forgotten that Peggy was there. It's like you're here, Peggy.
I would love to know how many people actually use those bags.
I would love to know how many people listen to these recordings. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either question. Okay, number six, we decided the installation of riprap to stabilize the bank in the slide area was agreed to remove this item from the list. Okay, so number six is gone as well. Number seven is the city looking into the installation of paths and walkways in Forest Park. Mark, do you have any answer on that or the previous one?
That's why I guess the reasoning behind having the joint meeting to sort of get that discussion started. And, you know, if that one's not clearly on their radar screen, then having that discussion could put it there along with you guys.
Okay. So is this a question for city staff?
I think it probably needs further development, and I would say that related to what I said earlier in the meeting, where it's not something that's going to happen overnight, but that road is such an opportunity for planning purposes that, you know, it just seems like too much to ignore.
So this is something that we could add to our projects that we discuss for the future, but not something that is a question for city staff.
Probably not at this point.
Yeah.
But in general, it's real pertinent because it's a confluence of the recreational trail people through Forest Park and Big Creek Road having some sort of guardrail divider so that it separates the pedestrian from the automobile.
Well,
so that's the reason why I think it's a collaborative thing. It's like, oh, okay, we're in charge of the transportation side. We want to make the pedestrian way down Big Creek Road safer for the pedestrian by using the guardrail concept or the separation of the groups. And it just happens to connect with the recreational trails of Forest Park, and the two make the loop.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
So that.
Well, what's happened is that we have, so for example, we have on the agenda review all the new projects and begin setting new priorities for the committee. That's where that project belongs.
Right.
Because right now it's on the questions for city staff
list. It would be nice for city staff to say that's a pretty good idea to separate the user groups on Big Creek Road. I think that's a valid thing.
Well, yeah.
So then when funding is available for some sort of grant that's appropriate for safety reasons, separating autos from pedestrians, you could point to that project as being a decent one. The city staff understands what we're trying to do, agrees with it, and then it becomes more relevant.
Let me try this out. I think it's a great idea. Imagine a system where you'd have this discussion with Parks and Rec. Everyone would agree that it's a worthy project, and through the work of this committee and that committee, or primarily this committee, you would actually vet the thing far enough so that you actually have a map showing where the guardrail would need to go. You know how it is. When you don't have it drawn out, it's that much harder to try to describe to people what it is you're trying to achieve. You know, and then it's like, well, if it makes it to the next step, it gets kicked over to city staff to review how much is it going to cost.
So
I think it would be a great project.
I think it's a great project, and I think that we should have two lists. I think that we should have a project list where we've got our lists of projects that we're working through, we're vetting, we're talking to people about, and then from that list, from our discussions, we have questions then for the city staff, and this list then just remain questions for
city
staff.
You know, how many feet of guardrail are we talking about, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
So then for that next agenda item, for that review, so let's just push that down to the end of the meeting, and then meanwhile we can say that number seven can come off of the city question list, the city staff question list. Okay, and the same with the next one, Laura. Mark, were you going to invite Laura to discuss?
That was Riff or Bob.
That was Bob,
yeah.
Okay.
And that's, city doesn't have to
hang with that.
Doesn't have to. So we're going to have Bob invite Laura. And so number 8 can come off the list as well. Number 9, is the city aware of the proper placement of Sharrows? I believe this question has been on here for quite a long time, and I think we took it off.
Yes.
Yeah, it's off. That's what it says here.
Okay, so question number 9 can come off the list as well. That was off of my list.
Right.
All right. Number 10, does the city have an inventory of all paths, trails, bike routes, etc.? And Alicia is willing to take this on?
They do not have an inventory.
We were painfully brought aware of the fact that the existing documentation is a whole series of, like, notes and charts and all kinds of stuff, plus no updates. And so that's when she volunteered to start kind of like with the GPS. You could just ground truth the coordinates where those places are.
So we must have discussed this at the last meeting because I took it off the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did.
And so do you need anything to do that? You just have to borrow a GPS system?
I borrow a GPS, and it's a combination of this committee and the other committee working on both sides to get this project done.
Okay.
It's my big one to do.
Well, thank you for doing that. So number 10 can come off the list as well. Number 11 was the sediment tarps. I thought that we straightened that out last time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that number 11 can come off the list, too?
Yeah.
And then number 12, is there a plan to properly sign directions from Agate Beach to Big Creek? That question is still on both lists. Do you have any answers for us?
I don't.
Well, it's a state park collaborative thing. Wayfinding part.
The onus is back on us, Jack, wayfinding. I think we did bring that up in our overall meeting when we talked about where signs need to go.
Right. So it's a